true believers, and welcome to the Superhero Hour Hour, the only podcast in podcasting history to have a host die and come back and die and come back and die and come back again and again to talk about every single comic book television show that came out that week. I'm your host this week, the aforementioned unkillable Mike Gravano.
It's not aforementioned. You have yet to be mentioned.
Well, the died and come back and died and come back.
That's not your name, though. If your name was Died and Come Back and Died and Come Back, then you can say aforementioned.
How long does it take to do a legal name change?
37 minutes. Oh, Mike, when are you going to come?
Do this on your own.
All right. So my name is Ryan, and I guess we will wait for the artist formerly known as Mike, who will...
I forgot that in our building, we have a notary and a government processor.
So your new name is now?
Died and came back and died and came back and died and came back.
And is that big blatant is that part of the name too?
Unfortunately, because he's a dictator. Uh-huh. He dictates. He doesn't control a banana republic. And I stuttered when I talked to him and he takes his job, I'd say, overly seriously.
For everybody who is a normal listener knows that Mike stutters every time he's nervous. But for the new listeners, of course, that's obviously what you would have done.
Right.
The second you walked up to him, you just would have been like, died and come back again, come died and come back again.
It seemed like such a good idea and such a good name in this room with you. And then I went into public and went, even though public is just down the hall. And then I realized what an asshole I sounded like.
It sucks because getting your name changed for the first time takes what? 10 seconds, as we just found out?
Mm-hmm.
Getting it changed back. 7-8 years.
It's like marriage and divorce.
It's like bankruptcy.
One you can get drunk and do in Vegas or down your work hall. The other one, it's gonna fucking bleed you dry.
Have you been married inside of this building?
I don't like the amount of convenience that our building offers.
You don't have to take advantage of all of them all of the time.
It's part of the package, Ryan. It's how they got me to sign another contract.
We have a suite, 3-chair. I mean, it's not huge. It's very nice. It's very posh. Barber here in the building. So that means that Mike gets 4 or 5 haircuts a day. You don't need to do that.
I look crisp as fuck.
You know how when you have a video game character and you can just change their hairdo?
Yeah.
You just switch the number and their hairdo changes. That's what you do all day, every day.
It is annoying because I always want to go try that long heavy metal guy.
And right.
He, every time he tells me, I can't cut your hair longer, which is a dream I've had since I was 5 years old, Ryan. And I want to live in a world and have the technology where I can do that.
Well, there's the store like 4 doors down from the barber.
The weave shop?
The weave shop.
They don't let me in.
No?
Yeah.
Did you try the wig shop 3 doors down from that?
Oh, there's a wig shop now?
Yes.
Where the Starbucks used to be?
Where one of the Starbucks used to be.
Yeah, so now I just have to walk the other way 5 more shops down?
Yes, but I know how distracted you get by shops, so.
And there's so many shops. And I always say, I'm just going to window shop. Do you know how they get me? All these stores know that if I window shop long enough and they put a buy one, get one free, I'll come in there for shit I don't want or need.
Your favorite food of all time is right next door to the Cinnabon. But every day you go to get your favorite meal, you have to stop at the Cinnabon and then you're full. You eat also 5 to 7 Cinnabons a day and have never had your favorite food of all time.
There's the Old Spaghetti Factory Burbank in our studios.
Sure.
I am what I am. My last name is Gravano. Hard to put together. Maybe I like marinara. Red sauce, as we call it from back east. I've not had pasta in years. And you would think, hey, that must mean you look svelte. No, because I eat fucking Cinnabon 5 to 7 times a day.
No, yeah, nobody thinks that you look svelte.
But no, in theory, they're like, oh, an Italian who hasn't had pasta in years? He probably looks good.
No, people can just hear your voice.
Do I?
You sound like...
Am I reaching the point where I have fat voice?
You have fat voice for sure. You sound like a French fry learned the English language. You sound disgusting, dude. You sound like your drool is Crisco.
So it should be hurtful, but I auditioned for Sausage Party, and they said it didn't sound foodie enough.
Right.
And I thought that meant I'm not enough of a gourmand.
No. You don't sound enough.
But it sounds like it could have been the French fry.
It sounds like maybe. Is there a French fry?
But maybe they have a fucking racial bias, and I could have only played fucking Mr. Pastaman.
Not one of the sausages? That's Italian food.
Shit. No, Mr. Pastaman, I'm sticking to my guns.
When the sequel comes out, Snossage Party, I feel like you have definitely a leg up. That's so sort of what you sound like, a snossage.
I'm not good enough to play human food.
No.
But I'm good enough to play fucking dog food.
Yes.
I ate a snossage once because they look and smell delicious.
Right.
Their taste does not match their look or smell.
They look sort of almost edible. They smell like dog food.
No, they...
The worst kind of food.
That's true. After
Indian food?
Burger
yeah, that shit's
King?
Weird.
I don't know. Something we, that, Ryan, we have some actual stuff to talk about.
What?
I thanked her. I did not get a chance to thank your co-host of last week, Kelly, that precise little shit who replaced me for a day.
Oh, were you not a fan?
I just think she's very precise, and maybe she's a little shit. But you know what we should actually talk about is something we can't talk about in a few minutes when we actually get to the show.
Abortion.
Abortion. And I have a hardline stance that may surprise you. Stranger Things.
Yes.
Got picked up for a second season. So the opposite of abortion.
Do you mean the show or our podcast, the most popular Netflix of all time, about Stranger Things?
I'm going to give you your least favorite answer because one follows the other. If we do our podcast again, they will make a show. And if they make a show, we will do that podcast.
Yeah, it's all interlinked.
So Netflix called me up, said, can you do another episode? And I said, only if you give us another season, baby. And like, we'll do you one better. It's 9 episodes now. You get a 9 episode second season coming next year.
So that means that the 12th season will have
23
episodes. It'll just be like a normal network sitcom.
I don't want that.
Do you think they'll go 3-camera laugh track?
Yes.
That would be hilarious.
And weirdly enough, only Lucas will be really good in that setting.
Lucas and the Boys?
Lucas and the Boys is going to be how they repitch it. Do you want to know the casting announcements? Because it's not just your normal Hawkins, Indiana crew.
Explain that, please.
I got caught between group and crew.
Okay, but so what you said was Hawkins, Indiana crew. Oh, they came from Hawkins, Indiana.
That's the group. This ain't your daddy's, and your dad loved the show last year.
Right.
So adding to the roster, we're going to get Max. She's a tough and confident girl between 12 and 14 years. She's something of a tomboy, and she prefers skateboards to bikes or cars.
Mike, she's a female who goes by a commonly male name. Of course she's all of those things.
Of course. And you know, Ryan, I know she doesn't like cars. Do you know who does? It's going to be pretty important to her brother, who loves Camaros.
Camaros.
Which is much as a lifestyle as a mode of transportation.
So as long as it's 1986.
They're doubling down on Steve, I guess. We need an Uber Steve. And then the third is Roman, a gender-neutral character who I don't know if that means men and women can audition or...
This character is specifically
gender neutral.
It's going to
be like the newer character from Difficult People. And Roman's seeking some sort of revenge. Who are you most interested in meeting?
Oof. It's so hard. Casting calls are just so terrible. They're a lot like Descripto the Magnificent, star of Netflix, wrote them. It's really hard to get excited about any casting call whatsoever.
Do you remember my favorite and least favorite casting call in the, not just the history of casting calls, but the history of Superhero Hour Hour?
Was it Fear the Walking Dead?
It's Fear the Walking Dead, which transitions me. Tonight, we're talking all about Fear the Walking Dead.
Oh, segues. You're so good at them.
But do you know what the casting call was?
What?
It was for Chris.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember what it said?
Something about, go for it.
He's the angriest kid in Los Angeles.
To be fair, there's not a lot of angry kids in Los Angeles. It's easy to do that. Everybody's so mild.
It's
and,
basically Pleasantville.
Yeah. Nobody in L.A. in like their teenage years appreciates violence or... So, yeah, that makes sense.
It's a clean-cut neighborhood.
Right.
It's not like New York.
No.
I don't know if you've seen this Daredevil documentary, but New York is war-torn.
New York is hard because based on all of my experience, everybody is walking here.
They're all walking here. They're slapping cars. And if you slap this guy's Camaro, I think he'd have a thing or two to say about that.
Oh, God, don't ever slap a Camaro, guys. If you learn one fucking thing from tonight's show, you never tell a Camaro that you are walking here, even in goddamn NYC. That's what I call New York City. And tell them you're walking here.
And with that, Ryan, let's get to the issues. Issue the first, Ryan.
Yes.
Are you ready for this?
I think so.
Deadline is reporting that DC's Greg Berlanti, can you guess what he's going to do?
He is going to make an omelet for 7 people.
And after that, this crazy kid is shopping around another TV show.
Of course he is.
An adaptation of Black Lightning. Now, do you want the synopsis, or do you just want to talk about it based on Berlanti and Black Lightning?
Black Lightning, I would say, is not really in the Superman, Batman, iconic camp. No, why don't we get the synopsis?
Not part of the Trinity. Jefferson Pierce. He made his choice. He hung up the suit and his secret identity years ago. But with a daughter hell-bent on justice and a star student being recruited by the local gang, he'll be pulled back into the fight as the wanted vigilante and DC legend, Black Lightning.
Do we have a network for this?
No, I think the biggest news story here is Greg Berlanti is shopping it around. Like, he doesn't fucking know it's going to go to the CW.
Isn't the CW on over? Are they at all nervous that they're just going to become the channel of DC Berlanti shows?
Is that why he's shopping it around? Where they're like, we'll take it, but bud, can you try to go to another network?
There's one of two things going on. That CW has a first look deal with Berlanti, which we know they don't because Supergirl went to CBS first. Right. And CW passed on Black Lightning, or CW now has to bid, like, excuse me, all of the other networks to see if they can get Black Lightning on their channel, which I can't imagine they would, which goes against what the CW used to stand for as the WB of only shows that would be feature a character like Black Lightning.
Oh, UPN?
Was it UPN?
Well, UPN and WB meshed together.
Yeah, I thought UPN was like the Buffy Dawson's.
That was WB.
That was WB.
Excuse me, that was WWWWB.
But I thought the whole David Chappelle bit was, we got black people on our channel or whatever. That's what the frog would sing. Doesn't matter. One of them used to have only black people. One of them used to have only teenagers. Now they combine to give us only basically white teenagers, but with superpowers.
Yeah, superpowers.
Which is what I think of black teenagers anyway.
I was going to say, black people have superpowers. White teenagers are white teenagers. Mix them together.
This is the perfect combination.
Berlanti shows.
I don't know what, like, where this would go because it's not somebody famous.
Right.
It doesn't seem that powers driven or special effects driven.
It sounds a little more, because he's a vigilante, and I know there's superpowered vigilantes, but in this day and age, in my America, vigilante means you're out there with some weapons and some skills.
Right.
And it does sound like a show we don't have is it's about a family man. Like, it's like The Incredibles, but the TV show.
Right.
Plus, maybe we can get some social justice in here. It sounds cool.
Or for those who don't understand Mike's obscure fucking pop culture references, something like Family Matters, thank you, where Carl Winslow was a policeman, but we never saw that, or we saw it very rarely. What we did see was him with his family, because, Mike, I got to tell you, family matters.
Oh, I've never thought about it in those terms.
Oh, yeah, it's a double on hole.
And that house was full.
Mm-hmm.
And those step-parents had step-families.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
And the strangers, they actually
had candy.
They weren't that perfect. They did not belong together, really. Yeah.
You were staying in the TGIF realm.
And Sabrina, that one witch, actually like 28 years old. So not all of the titles work.
Okay. And that boy really just met most of suburban Philadelphia.
Right.
Well, are you excited? Do you think, but where's your money? Is your money on this goes to a Hulu?
My money is
on C-dubs.
My money is out. I'll take nothing.
Nothing.
Yeah. Black lead, obscure character. My money is out. Unless Netflix feels like it has more room and it does. It's not contractually obligated to Marvel.
Green Arrow used to be fairly obscure. And they made that their fucking flagship show.
That's true. I think Green Arrow still has a huge leg up over Black Lightning.
Yeah.
The other thing, too, is that Hulu and Amazon seem like they're okay with their low-budget comedies.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Man in the High Castle,
right?
That might be a low budget or high budget drama, but there's nothing on like the HBO or even the CW level. I think that they would have to go out of their comfort zone in order to tackle this. I say we're done with this.
Issue the second. TV Line reports that Marvel and ABC Studios are developing a new Warriors comedy series that puts a spotlight on a little known comic book heroine named a Squirrel Girl.
Now, when you say new Warriors comedy series, you mean a comedy series based on the movie The Warriors that is new to us.
And Squirrel Girl will be in it with her. And she'll maybe put acorns in each one of her fingers and go, Warriors!
I do not understand the Squirrel Girl connection to the Warriors. That's a little weird.
So, I don't know. And this is not how I would describe the new Warriors, but they described it as a team of junior Avengers. And I don't want you to be confused with the Runaways or the Young Avengers.
The Young Avengers, sure.
Who are also called Junior Avengers.
Or Avengers Junior, which was the show with like that Sean Connery movie, Ralph Fiennes and Uma Thurman, but as babies.
Avengers babies, they all wear
It's probably not that. See, my new Warriors, based on when I grew up, is Nova. We have Speedball. We have Namorita, who is like Namor, but a girl. Throw that Ida on the end of his name, and now you have a girl character. It's Rage.
Ooh, Rage. I forgot about Rage.
It's Night Thrasher.
I was going to ask if Night Thrasher. I just knew Night Thrasher. I've never read a single fucking comic to have Night Thrasher in it.
Uh-huh.
But the Marvel's Masterpieces, I fucking loved Night Thrasher because he was like on the roof of a building and he had like two knives.
I can see that picture in my fucking head right now, you stupid son of a bitch.
Red hockey mask.
What you can't see, though, because he's on top of the building, is that his actual weapon of choice, above even the knives, is a sweet-ass skateboard because that is the year that he came out.
Thrasher die! So is this also going to be like a 90s period piece mocking...
Oh, God. You're giving me the weirdest direction I've ever had.
Can Pauly Shore play, I don't know, their mentor? Because they're all young. They're the new warriors. They're not the old and grizzled warriors.
Can you not wait for the conversation where she's like, no, my name is Squirrel Girl. And he's like, I think it's Weasel Girl.
Buddy.
What this sounds like probably over those iconic characters that will stay in my memory forever is probably just a way to throw 8 characters on the screen,
right,
see if they stick. Does it, like, the New Warriors thing is just a title that Marvel owns.
Yeah, because nobody's... I'm sure there will be, because nerds are nerds. Nerds be nerding. Nobody's going to be like, these aren't my New Warriors, because Squirrel Girl has never been a New Warrior.
Right.
It sounds like the internet is all abuzz with Doreen Green? That can't be her
Doreen
name.
Doreen
Green. Fuck. Doreen Green. And they're like, well, Squirrel Girl, the show, sounds ridiculous. Which it wouldn't, because Squirrel Girl right now is in college and is Jessica Jones and Luke Cage's nanny.
Mm-hmm.
You fucking Felicity that shit? Make Felicity, but she's also a nanny and a Squirrel Girl? I'd watch the shit out of that.
Also, Squirrel Girl starts with short hair, so you don't have to have that Felicity haircutting scandal.
Nobody's going to freak out. Nobody's going to freak out.
Also, this is a good strategy for Marvel, because the internet seems to have backed Anna Kendrick to be Squirrel Girl.
Right.
And if it's a TV show, they'll be like, all right, do you want to do this for, like, you know, $60,000 a week? And she will then say no. And then they'll be like, well, we tried. Sorry, internet.
And we can't even get Shannon Purser? Barb. Barb uh-huh. from also wants to be Squirrel Girl. Because Barb, as we talked about a week or two ago, is on Riverdale.
She's on Riverdale.
Another Greg Berlanti joint coming to CW. Issue the third. Gotham released a new trailer. Did you watch it?
I actually watched it today, yes.
A flash of what may be Killer Croc has got people all hot and bothered. But more importantly, Ryan, I don't know if you noticed the subtitle. It's Gotham, Mad City, which leaves Bruce Wayne to take up the mantle as Good Kid.
Good Kid, Mad City.
And
I gotcha.
I'm way more excited about that.
My biggest thing with the preview was we as a nation have already decided that we're tired of choirs covering pop songs, and yet Gotham still like, this is still hot, right? And it's the most Gotham move of
so
all
Gotham.
Time. This is
That's
all
so
Gotham,
Gotham
can do.
What was cool 5 years ago?
Oh, God. And now all the characters are wearing Ugg boots and
short jean denim skirts. And you know they're going to complain how cold they are.
My other biggest complaint was that it said September 19th, and September 19th used to be a date that seemed far, far away in my life, and now, Mike, it is impending, and we are about to watch 24 episodes of Gotham.
It's so soon. And I guess I like, because I did sort of miss Fish Mooney, and I like that she seems back in a big way, but then I do think, because she said, I want an army of people like me, and that just means more, like, she has powers now, right? It just... We need Batman now, unless the city's going to burn to the ground at the end of the season.
I will say this about that. If you've ever gone through a reality TV show phase,
mm-hmm.
you very much understand that the hour of reality TV that you watch is horribly boring, but you wait for the next week on this show, which is always amazing. And this preview sort of struck me like that. I know that the season's going to be terrible, Mike. I promise you.
Right.
But there were some moments, and it was basically like, basically, the preview was all about, hey, we know all of the humans with penises on the show are horrifically boring, but now it's time for these ladies
yeah.
to rock the shit out of the show.
And that's why the city is mad, Ryan.
Dude, it
Led
is.
Led by women?
Mad
that's
city.
Mad.
And I got not excited for the show, but I don't know. It was not a bad preview.
Do you know what was not in this trailer, but I don't think we've even talked about on the show, but why it's going to be called Mad City? Do you know who's coming to Gotham?
Hmm.
The Mad Hatter.
Hmm. And that's going to be like the season-long villain?
I don't know.
That's not a season-long villain.
That's not a fucking episode-long villain.
The Mad Hatter.
Issue the fourth. Dark Matter got picked up for a third season.
Hey, I don't know how to feel about this.
Along with something called Killjoys, which I've never watched. But it made me a little happy.
Here's what's crazy. I heard about this a couple days ago. I read it on a what do you call that? Screeny shaped newspaper?
Palm Pilot?
Yeah, I read it on my Palm Pilot, Mike.
Tablet. I couldn't remember the word for tablet.
And I was like, okay, cool. Dark Matter got renewed. Don't know how this made this website. And then also a show called Killjoys got renewed. And here's why this is this story that I'm telling, despite being long and boring, is kind of a double whammy. One, I've never heard of fucking Killjoys. What the fuck is that? Two, there's a comment section where I got to see people for the first time outside of me and you talking, discussing Dark Matter, and that was fucking weird.
Did they like it? I don't even know. I'm just glad they've heard of it.
The entire thread was about, no, you're a moron, moron. Killjoys is way better than Dark Matter. And then the next guy was like, no, Dark Matter is way better than Killjoys.
So Killjoys, I've not watched it, but based on a synopsis I read, is a group of bounty hunters who have to hunt bounties and like clear their names. Mm-hmm. Sounds a little familiar.
Yes.
They came out at the same time. Also, it's what Gerard Way used to call the fans of My Chemical Romance, I think.
Killjoys?
I just know from that one song that, I don't know if you've ever karaoke'd, Ryan, but there's a song that goes, Killjoys make some noise, and the song starts. So I assume that's just what he called all of his fans, the way Slipknot called their fans maggots.
And Jimmy Buffett's fans are called maggot heads.
Maggot heads. Man, maggot heads. Love making that maggot shape with their hands up in the air while they all get drunk and be old.
Yep, that is the Buffett dance.
The only concert I've ever passed out at, because I was tanked bored at 3 in the afternoon and bored as fuck because it's island music. It was pretty fun.
Steel drum solo!
For an hour? Do you know who opened for Jimmy Buffett, Ryan? Jimmy Buffett. He had a 4-hour set. And if you have a tiki bar on stage and you're not playing good music like Me First and the Gimme Gimmes, which means an upbeat tempo, you can play forever.
Yeah. You can walk off stage. You're like, hey, you with that one weird instrument I've literally never seen before. I don't know what that is. Could you just do like 45 minutes real quick? I'm going to go snort some marijuana. I don't understand drugs. Bye.
I'm old
Jimmy
now.
Buffett, dude.
And I did not appreciate the amount of Margaritaville commercials that he played and just announced in the middle of his show.
Mike, why is the theme restaurant based on Jimmy Buffett called Margaritaville and not the Jimmy Buffet?
Because he's a fucking bad businessman.
God, I'm pitching out gold here, and he's probably not even fucking listening right now.
You could call it Parrot Heads. It could be a fucking gourmet delicatessen.
Where you only eat parrot heads?
You eat parrot and parrot heads.
That sounds terrible, actually.
So Killjoys, the real world is flipped from us. I think most people, not the real world, the nerd real world, most people have watched Killjoys and talk about that all the time. Where we're flipped, we've never fucking seen a minute of that show.
I've never heard of it before.
They came out at the same time, and they feel very head-to-head.
Hey, show. Base your shit on a comic book. Otherwise, get out of here.
Get out of here. Issue the fifth, Ryan. There's a Lucifer teaser, and it hints at his mother.
Yes.
Because Maze said she's stupid hot and has a credit card.
Maze, that's his bartender?
Yeah.
Sorry, it's been a while. Sorry, Lucifer. Sorry, Lucifer fans. Don't write in.
Does that make you excited to meet the mom? Stupid hot, has a credit card.
Well, do you remember who it is?
Nope.
It is X BSG star, X Powers star.
Oh.
Fucking with a tail. That lady.
So she's really reaching out.
Tracy Reardon. What's her name?
Probably Tracy Reardon.
Maybe.
Ryan.
Yes.
Tell us what this segment was brought to you by.
This segment was, of course, brought to you by Talalamananamos. Kalamananamos. If you would like one of those Kalamananamos, you just have to write into this website. Go to www.kalamananamos.com. It's www.cali. I don't need to spell it. Everybody knows how to spell it.
It's the best thing that you will ever put under your feet.
Yes. And people are walking around all the time with nothing under their feet. Get a Kalamananano under there.
And
you owe it to yourself.
You'll no longer use BCAD. It'll be BKAK.
Yes.
Next up, we're going to talk all about Fear the Walking Dead.
Trisha Helfer.
This week on FTWD, Nick's adventure with the new group continues as he watches a man sacrifice himself to the wall of zombies protecting the community while the man's young daughter looks on. Then Luciana makes Nick come with her to get supplies from a dangerous cartel. Meanwhile, Madison and Strand get drunk while Alicia and Ophelia talk about hope. Reinman, I ask you this.
I love when they discuss themes openly. Yes, ask me, please.
How does this arm of TWD deal with philosophy compared to the originator?
The originator, The Walking Dead?
Yes, OG TWD.
Shit, man. better somehow. I mean, that is, I would like to somehow damn this with faint praise. Mm-hmm. Can I just do that? Can
well,
I throw
I would
that
love
card?
To. Here, I'll read. Ryan Man, damn this episode and this show with faintest of praise.
Okay, this is better than The Walking Dead, one of the worst shows of all time at mingling philosophy with the action on the show. There you go.
How did this episode do it?
How did this episode do it okay?
Yes.
Well, Madison and Strand, and as the aforementioned, Ophelia and... What's her name?
Does she have to change her name?
No, because she was aforementioned.
Okay, okay, okay. Alicia.
Ophelia and Alicia didn't do so great. I know what they were trying to do, right. Especially with Madison and Strand. Oh, shit, give them some bonding moments. Mm-hmm. Like, let's take these two alphas, I guess.
Yeah, because we've been told they're alphas.
Right, and give them a moment. And there was some stuff I appreciated, like Strand admitting that he would have hit on her, a gay man admitting that he would hit on her because that's just what he does.
That they did a lot of dumb shit in that scene. I wanted them to fucking sit in that. I'm a seducer of people, and now we are lost enough and the world is gone enough and I'm drunk enough. I want to know why. Because it's not, he doesn't want to just fuck everything. It's just, I think, seducing without completion, there's so much power in that. But I wanted to dig into that. And it could be bantery and, like, cute and sort of flirty, which it got weird because I was like, he's gay. He's full-on gay. But that vibe in the show, and I could see Madison being like, yeah, but if we get drunk enough, even though I quote-unquote miss Travis.
That would have been interesting for Strand to have to pull back. My problem is that I like Strand admitting that he would have hit on her, but because this show is not good, mm-hmm. and I'm going to say it's approaching the worst. Now that Powers is canceled.
Okay.
And its competition is Gotham.
Yeah, because you're very pro-Lucifer.
I am very pro-Lucifer. This might be the worst because they can't have an interesting conversation without then immediately afterwards explaining all of the details about it.
Right. So you're saying it's good that they didn't dig into that one more.
Yeah, but they still dug into it. He still had to say, I'm a seducer of people.
Right.
We know that, Strand. We know
We've
that.
We've watched that.
We've watched it, and now you're saying it again. And just him talking about himself, like, hitting on Madison. Mm-hmm. We remember that you're gay. We remember what you're like, Strand. Stop giving us every single fucking bloody detail about everything.
And then how did you feel about Madison's breakdown? Kim Dickens is a good actress. We've seen her be good in things. Not this thing, but we've seen her be good. Joni is a fucking amazing character on Deadwood.
Mm-hmm.
Rest in peace. And Kim Dickens likes the new Deadwood script. She read it, Ryan.
Oh, yeah?
She says it's pretty good.
Awesome.
I think maybe she's just looking for a way out of this fucking garbage.
This is why you sign on to a show like this, is because at any point a zombie can eat you. Whenever you get a better show to be on.
I'm going back to Deadwood. That's only going to film a week. Yeah, I know.
No,
I quit.
I'm still going to use this as an opportunity to not be here anymore.
I'm going to remind people that Kim Dickens used to mean something in this town.
Well, okay, so let's focus on Kim Dickens then. Strand detects that she is from the South.
Yes.
And I don't think we knew that.
Other than that, Kim Dickens has never tried to hide her Southern accent. But she's got that Southern accent that, like, it's barely there until she gets a little drunk. And I think the actress probably has this. And then she goes, Coors Light. Like, and then you're like, wait, you say most words normal.
But see, I get how when you get drunk, the accent comes out. And I get how when somebody notices it and there's no reason to hide it anymore for whatever reason, mm-hmm. then it comes out more. But did you buy all of her performance once Strand said, where are you from?
There was a couple of lines that it just turned south to 1,000. And then I was like, oh, no. And then that went away again.
She was like, oh, shit, there's zombies. I do declare, yeah, we have to get out of here.
I got a case of the vapors from all this tequila from those Mexicans. There was none of that.
But it was close.
It was close.
It was too close for my comfort.
She did when she said, boy, give me that tequila. I did not like that. That bothered me a little.
Right.
That's her. Oh, her southern blood came the fuck out. And maybe that's why he said, where are you from?
And then pulled a fan out of nowhere and started fanning herself.
Whew. And then something was in a dress. A dress that I would say is too big. She looked like a stepsister from Cinderella.
Drug couch next to her. And Strand was like, what is that for? She's like, oh, I'm not faint in a moment.
Then do you know what I did like about that scene is... And they didn't, there's not enough stumbling. I wanted like a Scream level bad guy tripping and slamming into the fridge because he's just a human being. They were drunk. throughout both of these shows, there are normal people. They're drinking. Because I go, even before I knew a zombie horde was going to get them, I was like, this just seems like a poor planning idea. You check that perimeter. You get to somewhere safe. And then you start drinking. I wanted them to fuck up a little more as the zombies were coming in on them. Because they... did you see how much fucking shot she... I would have been puking my guts out so quickly.
Yeah, well, first of all, Madison can drink you under the table.
Well, she's from the South.
She's a Southern belle. Also, how sobering? This is an honest question. Because... I think the show is terrible,
yeah.
But I'm trying to figure out if it's terrible or terrible minus. How sobering is it when all of those zombies, are you ready to drive at that point, regardless of how much you've drank?
Well, I remember parties in my younger days.
With zombies, Mike?
Yeah, I used to party with zombies.
Are you also from the South?
I was at a dead man's party.
Mm-hmm. You said potty.
They blinded me with science. I can't do an accent. I don't know if that's been clear on this show yet.
You can do an accent. I just don't know what the fuck it is.
It's just, I just got thrown from a moving car accent, not like a
concussion accent.
Yeah, it's not a geographical location. But yeah, I remember cops would come and you're suddenly like, not hopping a car ready, but like, I can talk to authorities right now.
Right.
We're all a little afraid.
But that was your brain. That was probably not anybody else watching
I'm like,
you.
I can talk to them.
That was your best Southern so far.
How did Alicia do? Ophelia got a little too despondent too quickly. I understand it makes sense where her character is coming from, but Alicia is barely a character. And then I like the idea that once she showed more resentment towards her mom than she ever has because of Nick, and it felt very natural, and that she's looking around. This one girl probably wants to kill herself, and maybe did, and these two drunk idiots are being drunk idiots, and Alicia's like, I have to fucking save everything. This was, I think, a strong Alicia episode.
I think it was, too. I related to her a lot because I can't tell you how often I went upstairs with a suicidal brother or sister as my parents drank like crazy downstairs slamming on a piano. Like, this hit a lot of buttons for me.
The minute you hear that the piano is out of tune and the person is not going to try to play a creepy out of tune song, which would be the best thing. That would be the... negative answer, or I guess positive answer, to Gotham's having a choir of children sing. Like, that would be terrifying if you're just playing like Mary Had a Little Lamb on the out-of-tune player piano.
How great would it have been as the zombies attacked, Strand turns around from the piano and like screams and says like, oh, we have to get out of here. But one hand just has a mind of its own and just starts going doom, 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 doom.
Have you seen one of the best movies ever made, Can't Hardly Wait?
I have seen this before, Mike, yes.
Do you know where the cops come and he goes, we got to get out of here. And Billy, the nerd who is now infiltrating and drinking, just plays like get away Western music instead of actually running from the cops.
I don't remember that, no. But now I, just like you, officially believe that Can't Hardly Wait is the best movie of all time. You finally talked me into it.
I said one of. It's not Seven Samurai, but it's just under it.
It's like top three, top two. Yeah,
top three.
Top three. Okay.
Top three. Sunset Boulevard.
Varsity Blues. And Can't Hardly Wait.
I don't want your life. Varsity Blues is not on my list.
Oh, wow. Way to go. You're such a fucking critic champion.
Whipped cream makes me chafe.
Here's why I think that Alicia is a strong character in this episode. It's not her bring Madison to Jesus moment about her terrible momminess. I think it's just that she was involved in one of the first tense scenes in Fear the Walking Dead history. And although it didn't have a lot of logic behind it, there is something a little startling about watching somebody fall out of a 10-story balcony, hitting the ground hard, and then getting it up, shaking it off, like brushing or rubbing dirt on it, and then just continuing to be a zombie. And she was watching that, knowing that she's officially surrounded by a bunch of quote-unquote live zombies, and that also her mom and Strand, her new daddy, are fucked.
They are so fucked. He's just playing bad piano, and her mom's throwing every glass she can at the wall. Did you think when the body flew down and I was like, why did Ophelia walk a floor up to kill herself?
That would have been way funnier.
I was like, that doesn't make sense. Like, well, I don't want Alicia to see me do it. So I'm going to...
Ophelia would have fallen in a river, right? With flowers all over her?
I think so. That's the tradish.
Right.
Did they name her that because she's definitely going to kill herself?
I would have to imagine.
Or did they... That's the only Ophelia I've ever met. And by met, I mean read or heard about.
Oh, those are your friends too, Mike. Only Mike.
Well, if you read a lot, those are your friends. Those were the nerdier kids, even me in elementary school used to say. Though there's that Lumi song, Ophelia.
Okay.
That Hey Ho band.
So you have two Ophelias in your life.
Yeah. I'd rather hang out with the suicidal one.
And you have the Blink-182 song. Ophelia! Where do we go from here, Ophelia? Anyway.
Can I ask you a question? Let's get to the Nick. The fan supposed favorite, or maybe they're just shoving him down our throat, Nick's story.
Yes.
Who?
And this episode made that a good question. Now I'm not so sure. He drank zero pee. I don't know where to go from here.
I'm out. So he's in another death cult.
Uh-huh.
He's now questioning this one where he went blindly towards the last one.
Right. He's learning. He's growing.
But at the end, he did that weird chanty thing with them. Though I did like that. He's like, you made her the daughter watch, though. Can we fucking be humans? Kind of. Are the dead sacred to these people? Because when she needed fucking camo, she still slit one of their loved ones' throat and put it all over her face.
Right.
What are the rules? What are the fucking rules to this cult?
I hate to say the P word.
On P?
An internet podcast. I'm not talking about urine. The problematic word. But it
pussy.
Feels like there's a... No, the word is problematic,
Mike. Oh, problematic.
Mike.
I thought you were saying the word is problematic.
The word is... Yes, the word is problematic.
So you don't want to say it. I get it.
I don't want to say the word
problematic.
Problematic
if you said it.
But did the Mexico comparisons at all bother you here? Because they just feel like savages with no rules or regulations and just a ton of blind faith.
And bad water.
And bad water.
And they have to make deals with the cartels.
And sending the worst of them across a border.
The worst of them being the sick ones?
The sick ones. This is the shittiest of us.
Future President Donald Trump is described as rapist.
Yes.
I read between the lines that sick dad was a rapist.
So are there some Trump things going on here? Because, Mike, I would like to scream Trump at the top of my lungs right now.
What's Fear the Walking Dead, even more than Walking Dead, seemed to be like, we want to show LA, and we both rolled our eyes. We're like, yeah, we need more shows in LA. But it was an actual, diverse, legitimate look at what LA is, which is Hispanic and El Salvadorian and Black, and it's this mixing pot of people. And then they're like, let's go to Mexico, because it's right there. This also makes sense. But then this episode got weird, because you're like, did a new executive producer come in? Because I'm not sensing the... This is why this stuff matters anymore.
Strand is very weird because he's Black and gay, and that's all just so different than what we're used to, right?
I watched a show called The Wire. I don't know if you've heard of it.
It doesn't subscribe to our American values, but no matter what, he is American. So yeah. He's fine. He gets a pass. Black and gay, ew, that's gross, but he gets a pass. He's fine. Mexicans, though, or anything south of the border.
I don't need to tell the listeners
ew.
You're speaking for not us right now, right?
I don't think so. Okay. I hope not. That's all. That's where things get different and crazy. And Nick's last death cult that he was a fan of, also of
right.
Hispanic descent. What are those people doing down there? They believe weird things blindly. That's weird.
Is it
as opposed to the Trump voting Americans who don't believe things blindly at all, but put a lot of logic into all of their thoughts.
They're ready to make it great again. Do they just know they have a holiday called Días de los Muertos and
just extrapolated.
Did
just
zero research
it.
Into yeah. that. And just went, they love the dead, I guess. So they just want to jerk off and love the dead all the time.
So the Day of the Dead, what they're doing there basically, and like, correct me if I'm wrong, and I'm just kidding, do not correct me. I'm trying to write a script here. I don't
have
time for corrections. So Day of the Dead, I think that means that they dig up their dead and Weekend at Bernie's them all around the town. So zombies would be great for them, right? They would love that. I write that down? Oh, the script is done. I've turned it in.
Can this new group do that, but in a different way? Yes. Print. Yeah, after the last episode, and same thing after the, I don't know if you know this, Ryan, but when I'm not here, I listen in.
Okay, from heaven.
From heaven. Thank you for believing that's where I'll go. And you
hell
guys
has
about,
terrible Wi-Fi.
Like last episode was a step up, and at first I'm like, oh, Nick, and not talking to anybody. I'm like, hey, now you guys got a little something. Like the Morgan, Drew Carey's
yes,
brother episode.
It's the focus.
The next episode was a disappointment. And even this, you're like, well, maybe this storyline can keep going. It just not, there's not a clear focus and they don't know. And I get that Nick is a character searching, but you can't be a show searching. You have to know the fucking things he's going to bounce off of.
At least not in the second season, guys. Come on. Like, and it's not just a second season. In a lot of ways, it's like a seventh or eighth or ninth
yeah.
season. What are we doing here?
What are we doing here?
Mike, do you think that the next spinoff is the thing to change what you do with The Walking Dead? So next time it's like run from The Walking Dead instead of fear, or be cool with The Walking Dead? Or do you think they added one word next time.
Mm-hmm.
So next time they'll take that phrase and then add a word to the end. So like the next spinoff would be like Fear The Walking Dead, please.
Please. It's just this show, but a little politer.
Right.
It's the opposite of the real world.
Yes.
People stop getting real and start being polite.
Oh, you mean the real world, the TV show?
Yes.
Because you're also talking about the real world that I live in, IRL.
Whoa! Ryan, what time is this show on?
I appreciate you asking me that, even though you just caught a big wave. You still have the time to do that.
I'm from Cali, bro.
This show is on at
9
p.m.
Yes, yes, I mean, yes.
On AMC on Sundays for a couple more weeks, and then The Walking Dead will be back soon. Okay. So we'll have a different mediocre zombie show to talk about.
And Ryan?
Yes.
What was that segment brought to you by?
That segment was brought to us, of course, by somebody who you would think would be better than Mike, but doesn't actually exist, is a figment of Mike's imagination.
It's my Drop Dead Fred.
It's a company called Kelly Heinlein of Heinlein Inc. because she's littler, she's better, she's yellower, and she's Nuprinter.
And that's my favorite part of her, the Nuprinter.
So Nuprin.
There's not enough Nuprin in my life. When we come back, it'll be talk about dark matter. Ryan, it's time for the back pages, which usually means talk about a bunch of shows, but this week means talk about the crew of Mark Datter's ship, Dark Matter.
All right, Mike, so give me the Dark Matter character countdown, starting with 6.
6.
Saved 3's ass again, helping to trap an alien infecting his body, and then he shot the alien into space.
5.
5 and the android are worried about 2. Why? Because they're family.
4.
4 fucked Knox, and then they gave each other the boot. And then he spends the rest of the episode murdering fools.
3.
3 gets infected by the aforementioned alien, but not before he complains about 6 being an untrustworthy asshole. For the last time, probably
2.
2's nanite storyline finally peaks as we find out that she is an artificial human who needs nanites to something something. The point is 2's dying, and the rest of the crew goes up against Will Wheaton to try and save her.
1.
Jace Corso, still dead. Mike, who do you want to talk about first?
Let's talk about Android.
Android. Okay, good pick. So we got that twist. That twist ending.
That twist ending.
Do you remember it?
Was it a twist, or was it just a random fucking scene slapped in at the end?
It's a good question. She wakes up as a normal person?
Ish.
Well, she's sleeping. She wakes up from a bed.
She wakes up in a normal person's bed.
Androids don't sleep in bed unless they're dreaming about electric sheep. That's the answer to that question.
And we did not see that. She didn't look like her normal android self, because that hair was down. But she didn't look as human as android with the emotions chip does. She was somewhere in between. Because maybe at this point, that actress unfortunately just has a weird eye twitch. Because she fucking Marlon Brando's this role so hard.
I appreciate that of her.
Is that enough? Have we dealt with her?
Yeah, that's enough.
3.
3 gets infected.
With a symbiote? It looks like a symbiote.
Yeah, this could have been Venom, but it was Venom on the inside.
Inside Venom.
Which is probably a stand-in for liquor.
Ooh.
Because that's the Venom inside of me and you.
Well.
It turns us into, like, flesh-eating, yeah, raging
assholes.
You lick
everything. I lick all my enemies when I'm drunk.
I cannot believe how long my tongue grows every time we get drunk. Or even you get drunk.
Your tongue grows long.
My tongue grows so long.
We, I would say, have an unhealthy parasitic symbiotic relationship.
You would say that? Oh, you would just say that? Like, I just came up with this?
I've said it in therapy a lot.
I appreciate that.
We should have a talk off air.
You should hire a new therapist, because I don't want to hear your stupid bullshit anymore.
That's true. Fuck him.
I was talking about me.
Oh.
I'm not a good therapist for you.
Oh.
A great therapist for everybody else on the planet.
I'm talking about you, too. Fuck him.
Bono is your therapist? Let's move on. Okay. Was this a good come together for 2's nanite storyline?
I liked this episode, and it was like classic Dark Matter, and not in the way that they're genre ripping off, but it was a little heisty. It was a little like breaking and entering.
A little feisty.
A little heisty, a little three blind mices. A lot of character moments. A lot of good for Dark Matter character moments. Everybody got a second to shine. They used the ensemble very well to split off into different teams. And everybody's motivations were clear. They made sense, not only in this episode, but to who these characters have been so far. Something the previous show we talked about, the aforementioned Fear the Walking Dead, does not necessarily do all the time.
Okay, so here's my thing. I fucking loved this episode. So you tell me which extreme thought is correct. 1. This episode was just great. It was the best of the season so far by a lot. Or Fear the Walking Dead was so fucking terrible this week that I had no choice but to love Dark Matter.
The first one, because Fear the Walking Dead was middling. We've seen worse Fear the Walking Dead episodes. Faux show. And I think last episode of Dark Matter was not great. And this whole season, you and I have been worried about how much we gushed over it a year ago.
That's what caused the reaction of it getting renewed tonight. We were both like, okay. Yeah.
But I do think this episode is why by the end of last summer, we were in love with the show and not because it was the only thing we had to do or talk about.
There's a scene in tonight's Fear the Walking Dead, this week's Fear the Walking Dead that we didn't get to, where Nick steals a tasty cake for that little girl that you talked about and then gets stopped by the grocery store owners. None of this is going to make sense unless you saw the show. And then gets a gun put to his head and then has to gouge them for twice as much water as they initially offered. And that is what we call backwards writing. They wanted the conflict to happen and didn't care what led up to it. And it shows because none of it makes a lick of sense.
Not really.
This Dark Matter episode.
They could have taken anything they fit in those carts, Ryan.
Anything.
And that little tasty cake could have fit in a fucking cart.
There's no reason to put it in your goddamn pocket, Nick, unless you wanted that confrontation to happen. But there's so many. It was so fucking terrible. This Dark Matter episode flowed. It wasn't spectacular. It's not going to go up against any episode of The Wire, but there's no backwards writing. There was no, like, we need this thing to happen, so this stupid thing has to happen.
All the characters, like I said, it was so clear. Even the employees who they got to win over to their side made sense because they work for a fucking corp, and as everybody does, except for this crew. And even in our America, the people who work for corporations hate their bosses. When you know your boss might kill you because somebody else threatened your life, so you did what they said, you're going to fucking win over, I don't know, to the attractive robot man lady who can kill you.
And in case you were wondering if they're just being wusses and that's actually not going to happen, Will Wheaton really did drag an employee out and shoot him in cold blood.
Loyalty. Can you imagine fucking Steve Jobs a few years ago, I guess, being like, I need my employees to be loyal. Anytime a fucking person from the Genius Bar tries to quit.
I honestly could.
That guy was crazy.
I think that actually happened.
Will Wheaton just channeling the late, great Steve Jobs?
Yeah. Jobs only had 3 segments in the Michael Fassbender movie. Mm-hmm. That was the 4th that they cut, of just watching him blow away disloyal employees.
Do you know what? It's going to take too much explanation. This scene. Let's get rid of it.
I thought this totally worked. I am excited for the next. And even though we don't necessarily still have like that exact focused path that I want for the rest of the season.
Right.
This was a ton of fun.
What was your moment of the week?
My moment of the week this week was, so I had mentioned when you said 4, besides 4 fucking knocks,
right,
he just always comes in and he's a superhero.
Yeah.
And at one point, everybody was like locked in this thing with this bad guy, and 4 opens the door, unlocks them with a sword, not just with some blood on it, it's fucking drenched
it's
in blood.
So much blood.
And then he flings it on the ground and you can hear all of the blood come off of it. That was my moment of the week. That was fucking dope.
That was a great moment. We are going to have to drink because mine was the android passive aggressively hinting that she'd like to taste the hot chocolate.
Oh, yeah, dude.
Because she's like, I do have 20,000 taste receptors. And then, like, she went from passive aggressive to, like, flexing her nuts in Five's face to just because Five was like, ah. She's like, what? She's nothing. And then she just walks away with the hot chocolate because she liked it so much. I think I love the android.
The android's pretty sweet. All right. Cheers to you, Mike.
Cheers to you. And what was that segment brought to you by?
That segment was, of course, brought to you by monobluff.com, the only website on the internet specifically called monobluff.com. While you're there, get some advice on your Magic the Gathering deck building. Monobluff.com.
And Dark Matters, of course, every Friday at 8. On the Sci-Fi Network.
It's not on at the same time as Killjoys.
It is.
That is the only thing I know about Killjoys.
Before or after Killjoys on the Sci-Fi Network. When you come back, it'll be talk about a shushy. Ryan, it's time for another shushy. And we are in the big ones. Have we been in the big ones yet?
For a while, yeah.
We've been in the big ones for a while, and the big ones continue.
But this is a bigger big one. Or so you might think.
So you might think. It is Best Actor in a TV show based on a comic book.
Which is not an Emmy yet, but we're working on it. And I think that we will figure out our way to do this.
So they'll give out a shushy at the Emmys. We're not trying to make our own TV show that's like on ESPN4 or whatever.
No. We want this to be an Emmy shushy.
Well, it'd be on the CW. If we had an award show, it would air on the CW, right?
Fuck, you wish, dude. You would rather be on the CW than any other channel. Just admit it.
It makes fucking sense for what we do and for who I am as a human being.
You wish a high-pitched talking motherfucker? You wish that Greg Berlanti produced your life.
Do you know how great my life would be if Greg Berlanti produced it?
So much fucking better banter. So much more attractive people.
So much more attractive people. So much better banter. So much Calista Flockhart. She's not in all of his shows, but I would hope he'd give me a little bone. Not like that. Just throw me a bone. Have her be in my life. I'm not being gross here.
No. We all understand.
Right?
You're not being problematic.
Best actor. I have a problem with that word. Best actor in a superhero television show or series. How did you feel creating a list? We should do this part first, right?
Yes. Here's what I figured out.
Was it a fucking doldrum experience?
I didn't know this until I was voting for this award, but all of the shows that we watch are ensembles without like that true male lead,
right?
Or female led. Yeah. All of the great shows are. And this list, like voting for this, was very difficult.
I'm not going to say this is bottom of the barrel, but this is my least favorite award we've given out so far just because of the prep. Every other prep we've done, I've been like, oh, yeah. And this one, I was like, fuck. This is hard or obvious and boring.
Do you know how many Shushies Wynonna Earp has been nominated for? Just because when you go to vote, you're like, you know what? Yeah. I'm gonna throw her a bone, not in the problematic way that you were earlier discussing, but like I like Wynonna Earp, and this performer deserves a nomination. Yeah. And it even got nominated, I believe, I can't remember, it's been a long time, for a supporting actor award.
It did.
It's not just ladies, but leading men. Superhero shows, what are we doing here?
And
folks?
There's a few obvious ones, but also like Clark Gregg, who we're not gonna be discussing in a minute, is, I guess, a nominal lead of that show. But that show's so ensemble-y, and he's one of the most boring characters on that show. He's no Lincoln. He's not a negative. He's net neutral to that show, which is shocking 3 years later, where that was how they sold the show.
Is Clark Gregg, the person and the performer, or the character he plays, exactly between Lincoln, the character on that show, and Abraham Lincoln, as far as American history and legacy goes?
Yes.
He's right there in the middle.
Right there in the middle.
But not close enough to Abraham Lincoln to get nominated for this award.
It would be absurd to compare him to young or old or dead Mr. Lincoln. Or correct. Abraham Lincoln, Vampire Hunter. Crazy. It would also be absurd to say he is just as awful a human being as Lincoln, the electricity dude.
Right. Who probably has a last name, but we don't care.
I think it's Mr. Lincoln Mr.
Lincoln Mr.
That's why he sucks.
Lincoln Kennedy?
Lincoln Kennedy.
That was actually a football player in the NFL.
And it's all connected because secretaries.
Lincoln Stinkin'? I'm thinking his last name is Stinkin'.
His name is definitely Stinkin'.
I don't know if I've revealed this yet, but I used to write for the Garbage Pail Kids, so I can come up with things like Lincoln Stinkin' right off the top of my head.
Give me one for Mac.
Max.
Snack Attack Mac?
Stupid. And then like all the snacks are eating him? Whoa, ironic. Snacks aren't supposed to eat you. You're supposed to eat the snacks.
I want to go into the archives and repost the... From the time gone by, the Garbage Pail episode.
Don't talk about that. How about Big Mac? And he's just too big to fit in the helicarrier.
Sure. That's great. Should we just get to the fucking nominees?
How great do you think most Garbage Pail Kids puns
are,
Mike?
It's like Snotty Susie. They're
I'm
not
trying
good.
To like lower myself to think of their stupid bullshit.
Are you ready for this?
How about... let's do this. What are the nominees?
Your nominees are, in alphabetical order by show, Stephen Amell as Oliver Queen in the CW's Arrow.
So we often throughout the run of Superhero Hour talk about Arrow as like the granddaddy show, right? It's been on the longest. We're going into the fifth season. Which is ridiculous for a lot of these shows.
I'm just going to keep repeating the things you're saying, matter of fact.
I appreciate that. Stephen Amell is the granddaddy actor. I don't know if he did anything spectacular this year.
But Arrow and Amell, the true blue, they're never going to be the worst. Sometimes they are the best episode that week, but it is the bar to clear to get into the upper tier. Well, I'm a little...
You shocked yourself right
in
there.
...in fear. And Stephen Amell, I do think, does not... There's a lot of dumb, wacky shit that happens in Arrow. He never turns in a bad performance. He knows who this Oliver Queen is and knows how to react to shit. He doesn't always do two things at once, but when he does one thing, it's so good, and the dumb mistakes Ollie makes feel natural.
So when you hear that he's nominated, which you just heard just now for the first time, are you thinking, no, Queen, come on, that means this is how terrible the award is? Or are you thinking, yes, Queen, of course he's nominated?
I'm kind of a yes, Queen kind of guy.
Yeah, okay, that makes sense. And is it just a little bit of her Queen that's nominated, or is it Oliver Queen that is nominated?
Oliver Queen.
Good.
Charlie Cox as Matthew Murdock in Netflix's Marvel's Daredevil.
These nominations are getting harder and harder to win. They're almost like Game of Thrones characters. They just have all these titles.
So many fucking apostrophes.
Protector of Hell's Kitchen. King of the Bathroom.
And the Wild Frontier.
And the Wild Frontier. He's the Davy Crockett of our generation.
Isn't he, though?
Other titles he has.
Charlie Cox is...
Daredevil. As Matthew
Murdock. As Netflix.
Netflix's Marvel's Daredevil, yes.
This season, I think the first season, we were more up on Charlie Cox. I think he got better at the American accent. It slipped up less and did not slip up that much in the first season. But he had less to do, I think, emotionally. He hit a lot more morose. And we got that beautiful fucking great smile in the first episode of the season in the middle of like the fighting. And to show like, oh, he's enjoying what he does. But then pulling into the Electra shit, that was just one note rung over and over and over again. But his scenes with the Punisher let him shine a little more. Like watching him struggle with his philosophy he lives by, I think Cox pulled that off.
I agree. I think that scene, if we're just talking about FYC, how did Cox get nominated? This is the clip that they're sending to the Shushies to play during the award show on ESPN4, you said?
He's tied to that roof?
Yeah, tied to the roof, going over philosophy, or in the graveyard.
Yes. Anytime it's him and him.
Him and him. I agree. I think, and also, do you remember that video that went semi-viral at Comic-Con of the little kid asking Ryan Reynolds if he knows the Green Lantern, like, I don't know, chant or whatever they call it?
No. Okay. Darkest Bright?
Yeah. And Darkest Bright.
Lantern's light. You may shine your light.
This little kid was like, do you know the chant? Mm-hmm. And Ryan Reynolds like looked at him with the most sincerity I've ever seen in a human being ever and told him the Green Lantern chant.
Uh-huh.
And like it gets dusty in the room. And you know that Ryan Reynolds didn't, this wasn't just like a job for hire. Like it turned out to be a terrible movie.
Is this after the movie, the movie came out then?
This is long before the movie came out. Charlie Cox, I also got, even though I would say that this was a lesser season and probably a less flashy performance, I think Charlie Cox season one is better than Charlie Cox season two. He gets Daredevil because Matt Murdock is a mopey, somber son of a bitch.
Mm-hmm.
So if you've never read Daredevil before, you might think that this is a little bit boring. This is edging on the side of boring, but this is Matt Murdock, folks.
That's Matt Murdock, except for that one weird run when he moved to San Francisco. His costume is a lawyer's suit that's all bright red.
And stopped moping, started strutting. Like, he would just walk down the street, and the theme from Shaft was always playing.
And I really feel the writers were like, this is what you said you wanted. You fucking idiots. You don't want this at all. Can we please get back to Catholic guilt immediately? That was weird. That was a weird... Why does nobody fucking talk about that?
I think Charlie Cox deserves to be nominated.
Next up is Tom Ellis as Lucifer in Fox's Lucifer.
Wow, from one daredevil to one actual devil.
Who dares to be British?
Of the three that we've talked about so far, nobody had more terrible writing.
Right.
And like a bullshit character work to put on their shoulders. And this guy, he one-upped Matt Ryan from Constantine in the amount that he was able to do with so little.
How badly do you want to see that crossover? I'm sure we've talked about this.
I would flick my bean so hard it would fall off.
You just flick the tip of it. That's not how you do it, buddy.
I'm still figuring it out.
How much of it is just because he's British? And how much of it is because he's a good actor?
I think it's little that he's British. A little bit.
And he just oozes charm. Oozes it.
What's the name of one of my favorite comedians who's in this show? Plays his therapist?
Fuck you. Rachel Harris.
Rachel Harris starts the show off doing the thing that we hate. We're not charmed by him. You're telling us that we should be charmed by him. And then by the end, I bought all of Rachel Harris's trying to fight him back.
And you did do a lot of like the, whatever the Yankee version of Cage of the Vapors is.
Exactly.
It's a lot more like just rubbing your chest, I guess.
Yes. I flicked my chest until it fell off. And I think that Tom Ellis did a lot of hard work here and made him a pretty charming character and a conflicted character in interesting ways.
I will say his interaction with that child. I was like, oh, you're going to be probably the best part of the show. The way you treat everybody the same plane and it's not acting. And I know this character would do this. It felt natch.
I think that his biggest comp is on TV is actually BoJack. And I would say that BoJack's constant same reaction to everybody in every situation, no matter what, and his I feel so sorry for myself weighs down on me more than Tom Ellis's Lucifer does.
Interesting.
I think he did a good job.
Patrick Fugit as Kyle Barnes.
So we're officially going with Fugit then?
It's the only way I can say it on this show. In Cinemax's Robert Kirkman's Outcast.
And I would say Netflix's. I don't know how or why, but probably,
it'll end up there.
So Patrick Fugit.
It's either Fugit or Fugit.
Also had a lot of heavy lifting to do because he had to also play the somber, like, sour, bummed out dude.
Yeah. People love their bummed out white dudes.
Yes. I think that's all people can talk about. It's just like, why aren't white dudes more bummed out about all of the plights of their life?
Actually, I don't know if you've read the internet. Loud Corner does want white dudes to be bummed out more. And I agree.
As do I. And I would say that the first episode showed us so much somber shit and dug him so deep that the rest of the season did a really good job of digging him out of that and then showing all of the different sides.
Digging him out, but without, it was never flash or like, look how dug out he is now. He's still a somber dude, but the show just proved why he needs to be. He went through some shit, but he has shades of somber.
He never had that Spider-Man moment of, oh fuck, I love Mary Jane, and then lifted a building off of his back.
When he cracks a joke, he fucking doesn't, Ryan. He never cracks a joke. The only, you'll see him be happy with his daughter, and that's it. And that fucking, it's so earned. He goes from like somber and fuck the world or resolved to do what he needs to do.
What does he call her?
Firefly.
Firefly. I was gonna say Ladybug or Jelly Belly.
You're so close.
Noodle is difficult, people, right?
Noodle.
Noodles. Oh, that's so adorable, but so weird.
I want to talk about that show all of the time. It's one of my fucking favorites on TV right now, but I'm congratulating. I would get to say, no, it's not, because it does not based on comic book.
It does not based on comic book.
Though, I don't, me drawing Julie and Billy in crayon on a napkin while I wait for the adults to order at Uno's doesn't count, right?
It doesn't count for the show, but it counts for me, and I cherish every table mat that you've ever given me.
Dominic Cooper as Jesse Custer in AMC's Preacher.
Can I be honest right now?
You can be.
I think we may have ran out of nominees.
Oh!
Yeah.
Have we?
Yeah.
Weird!
I like all four so far. I think they're all contenders. I think this is because we have to fill out a thing. Because
all five, we said five names now,
right? I like the first four.
Oh, we ran out before DC.
This fifth one sort of makes me think that maybe four nominees would have been okay.
Maybe the show was just on AMC.
Maybe.
And he was charming. He was fine.
Speaking of the way that you're talking, for some weird, strange reason, have we brought
which
up
time?
Just now that he was fine.
He was fine.
We've talked about the Seinfeld comparison about everybody else on the show is interesting, but this guy's sort of in interest vacuum.
Also, the first episode, smiled in the middle of the fight. Most interesting part about Jesse Custer.
Right.
Never really got there again.
The most interesting part from episode 2 through 10 or whatever it was for whatever reason, he decided to keep Tulip and Cassidy around.
Yeah. Good move, Jesse.
Yes.
Just like the comics, you're boring.
So Arsface is our George.
Oh, yeah.
Cassidy is our Kramer and Tulip is our Elaine.
When Arsface went off, when that girl took a bite of a chip, dipped it again and took another bite of the chip.
I thought it was hilarious. Sweet. My favorite part was yada, yada, yada. Seinfeld references.
Man hands.
They had that masturbation competition.
Soup Nazis
abound.
Well, Soup Nazis probably going to be season 2 of Preacher. So are we done? We're done. Ramp up. You want the envelope, please?
Yes, please. Whatever keeps you from stuttering, yes.
That was a purposeful stutter.
Oh, sure.
I went to the Dan Harmon School of Talking. I was going to say nominee. That's what we did. Your winner of the best actor of a superhero comic book television show or series is Patrick Fugit is Kyle Barnes and Cinemax's, Netflix's, Hulu's, CISO's Outcast.
Wow, this is surprising to me.
A newbie takes it out of the gate, the best actor.
And I don't know who I would have predicted. I don't know why it's surprising.
It's, I guess, because it's a new show, and Patrick Fugit has quietly done a great job his whole career, but so quietly, he is not somebody who chews scenery ever.
Is there any way that he turns this back around to becoming like a movie star or something?
I think this is... Movies aren't interesting anymore, Ryan. I don't know if you've heard or seen this.
Right.
TV is. He's getting roles like the sheriff sidekick in Gone Girl. So he is the fifth most interesting character in that movie. Nope. Sixth. Casey Wilson killed it. Or be a really good character in a really good show. And have time to really fucking dig into this shit.
Who won Best Supporting Actress?
On our show?
Yeah.
Not the year that Gone Girl was nominated for things? Who won Best? I don't remember.
All right, well, this is Outkast's first shushy.
First shushy.
It was almost Preacher's third. Preacher is currently leading.
For noms?
In shushies.
Oh, in shushy awards?
Yes.
I know they won best title sequence.
And best fight scene.
Oh, well, come on. Seraphim, bitch. Ryan, who was that brought to you by? We've done them all, haven't we?
Yes. That.
So, who was this show brought to you by?
This entire show is brought to you by, of course, yourpopfilter.com, the official website of this particular podcast and many podcasts across the internet. Go to yourpopfilter.com to get all of your new opinions about what you think you should think about pop culture.
If you want to make sure you never miss a minute of all the great things that just went to your ear holes, you should go to iTunes and subscribe to the Superhero Hour Hour. Rate us, review us, love us, and then check out Netflix. Do all those same things there, too.
If you like buying things but don't like giving fat cats your money, because fat cats are just going to get fatter and cattier with your money,
meow.
You could still get those things at the same low, low price to you, but then also give us a couple of, and we're good with shekels.
Shekels.
Are we sure? Have we gotten any memos about shekels thus far?
No memos about shekels yet.
You could give us a couple of shekels by going to yourpopfilter.com/Amazon. And making that your new Amazon bookmark. All of the stuff, all of the low prices, but we are the thinnest cats that you've ever seen in the history of time.
Couple of alley cats just tomcatting around.
Maybe add an LB or two.
Memories, Mr. Mistopheles, Mungo Jerry, and Rumpelteazer.
Heathcliff.
Couple of Garfield.
Felix.
MC Scat
MC Scat Cat. Oh, I said it before you. Now it's your turn.
I started first. That feels unfair.
Well, life is unfair because you're not a fat cat.
The Aristocats.
The Aristocrats.
The... I lose.
Thank you for doing that for all of us.
If you like us but want less of us and smaller bits with your eyes, not your ears, you should follow us on Twitter at YourPopFilter and like us on Facebook, facebook.com/YourPopFilter. You know how social media works. You're not a moron.
What do I have to do? Contact?
Contact, please, Ryan. How would you get in touch with us?
Contact at YourPopFilter is the best way to email us. There's millions of emails. If you email a different address than contact at YourPopFilter.com, it may get to us. But it's a little dicey at a certain point.
If you somehow know our personal emails, it will get to us.
It's Calista Flockhart, by the way. Won Best Supporting Actress.
Of course she did.
That's Supergirl's only award so far.
Of course it is.
Meaning that Preacher's the only two-time winner so far.
That's bananas.
And what we have left is Best Show and...
That's it.
Best Actress.
Two more.
So it doesn't seem like Preacher's going to win anymore.
Probably not.
But will something catch up or even surpass Preacher?
I hope so.
Okay. I'm assuming by you using this voice, you're getting annoyed with this topic and not. Contact at yourpopfilter.com is the best way to email us if you want to call us because you A, think phones are still sweet, or B, don't have fingers and don't know how to type. Then
how do you call without fingers?
You can tell Siri to call for you.
Siri, Cruz, please pick up that phone and hand it to me. It's weird that we hang out.
But I'm four.
Dial it, bitch.
Don't call four-year-old bitches. Cunts is more preferable.
Oh, you little cunt. Please pick
up
that phone.
All right, 1562. Now no one's going to call us ever.
Yell at us for calling a four-year-old cunt.
Hey, what? A bitch.
A bitch. This 4-year-old cunt's a bitch.
1562 DR DJ POP. Leave a message with our robot associate whose hand is a
pacifier.
And his other hand is a
bag of Ruffles chips that's half empty.
I bet you can't just eat one. 1562-DR-DJ-POP.
Thank you for listening to us thus far. For Ryan, I've been Mike. For Mike, I've been Ryan. Next week, we'll be talking about dark matter. Enough said.